Congratulations, you're listening to Podcast Rebellion.
Welcome to Podcast Rebellion, everyone. This is JUCO All-American, joined as somewhat always, although it's been quite a while, by Whiskey Wednesday. And we are back. We're back. We are here to talk about football. I think the last pod we actually did was on women's basketball. Because why would we podcast about baseball or softball?
That's a very good question. Yeah, it was a long, long summer in terms of the Ole Miss sports doldrums lasted longer than normal. But here we are. We're on the other end of it.
That's right. Excitement. Gosh, I was just thinking the other day about how, I know this is like a few years late, but how great it feels to be excited about Ole Miss football now that our coach is not who it was last before Lane Kiffin. Like, headed into the year, like, yeah, let's do it. I'm so excited.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's such a departure from heading into each season going like, well, I guess let's win four games or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, let's start with what we are drinking or what we have been drinking. I actually am drinking the Four Roses Small Batch Select. I had some cool work news, so I decided to spend a bit more on a bottle of bourbon than I typically do. It was not worth it. It was, I think, $65 or $70 or something like that. It's okay. Nothing special.
Yeah, you want a little more than okay for that, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, it's been a long week for me, kind of getting over COVID. I haven't been drinking much, but tonight I am. I opened a bottle of Smith & Cross rum. It's like kind of a British Navy style rum that's like a little bit funky, like a Jamaican rum. It's very good. It's like $35 for a bottle or something like that, and it's fine. It's great.
What did you say it's called?
Smith and Cross.
Okay. Yeah, I should say to our listeners, Whiskey Wednesday and I both got COVID from the same thing. We went to a friend's wedding. Great friend, awesome wedding. COVID's stupid and, you know, messes things up, but it didn't detract from the fact that the wedding was really fun and great and an awesome celebration. But yeah, since then, neither of us have had like any dire COVID symptoms, as far as I understand it, but have been affected a little bit differently, but mostly are just sort of inconvenienced.
Yeah, definitely no like concerning symptoms. It was just like kind of a bad flu coupled with some pretty severe like muscle soreness. Like I just feel about 80 years old sometimes, but getting back on top of things.
Yeah, I was just happy never to have lost taste.
Oh, yeah. No, that'd be the worst.
I like the way things taste. All right, so let's talk about football. And we have a lot to talk about. As I mentioned, it's been quite a while since we last talked on the podcast, but we are going to be doing them weekly during football season again and are really excited about that. Kind of wanted to run through some of the portal additions that Ole Miss has had since we last spoke. None of these are breaking news in any way, but really some interesting players have come in this late signing period. I remember when the signing period, the early signing period closed and Ole Miss kind of had some holes and didn't seem like it was, you know, had really taken advantage to the extent that we had hoped. There was this naysaying refrain of, you know, the late signing period, there's not going to be anything. It'll be, you know, afterthoughts. I think that the five players that Ole Miss found in the late signing period, or I guess the late signing period, have a chance to be significant contributors.
Yeah, absolutely. This year and beyond.
Exactly.
The first two that we're going to talk about are both were both freshmen last year at, you know, major P5 programs. There's PJ Dudley, who was a four-star freshman at Clemson. He's a linebacker, one of the top-rated linebackers in the country. Played a little bit, was in line to probably play a pretty good bit, and I think he just, I don't know, I think he got into some locker room trouble and also maybe felt like Dabo Swinney just wasn't his biggest fan or advocate, and so hopped on over to Oxford. And I guess that's another Pete Golding find, because Alabama was one of his finalists, but enormous pickup, you know? I mean,
linebacker
is still a position that Ole Miss struggles to recruit at an elite level, and he is an elite prospect.
Yeah, I mean, he was a four-star. He is 230 pounds. He's from Montgomery, Alabama, so he was, you know, yeah, as you mentioned, there is an Alabama connection there. I think that now there's some debate about whether he can play, right? I guess we should know this at this point. Do we know if he can play?
We don't know. He has not been cleared by the NCAA yet, or is it the SEC? Who knows? Because he entered the portal after, you know, the deadline had passed and he's seeking a waiver. But even if he can't play this year, like, we have a veteran linebacking core this year. He doesn't need to be a star this year or to even play this year. He's just a big add for the next 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, I agree. I think that it's excellent. I mean, a position of major need with older players at the position, and he can't transfer again. So that's cool. Yeah, then the other four-star freshman who was actually a top 150 player coming out of high school is Chris Graves, who's a corner who transferred from Miami. Tell me about Chris Graves.
Well, I don't think we know much beyond that. He redshirted. He didn't play. I don't know if maybe Miami didn't like him as much as they thought or what. We really don't know much about Chris Graves, but we know that he is cleared to play. He is on the Ole Miss roster. So I assume we will probably hear in the next couple of weeks if he is making any kind of move up the depth chart at cornerback, because there have been a couple of injuries and things like that. Nothing major, but, you know, enough to present a guy like that with an opportunity. So yeah, super highly recruited, highly ranked guy, and, you know, we'll see if he has enough to play this year.
Yeah, my understanding is actually that he will be a redshirt sophomore. Isn't that right?
Mm-mm.
No, he'll be a redshirt freshman.
Yeah, I don't see how that would be the case. I think he was just a class of 22. Yeah, a class of 22 prospect who redshirted.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. That's right. But yeah, he had offers from, gosh, I was looking at his offer list. Miami, Penn State, LSU, Florida, Florida State, Michigan State, South Carolina, and then it kind of falls off. Yeah, that's pretty strong. And he's 6 feet tall, which is obviously great. And really what they clearly are looking for is height in the secondary. So yeah, two promising freshmen transfers. That's a great way to kick things off. Then they have Tasia Young, who is a fifth-year senior transfer from FAU. Actually, he played under Kiffin at FAU. He is a safety. What do you know about him?
So I know that he is in line for playing time. I know that he's supposed to be a really quick, fast player. And he probably gives Ole Miss some speed and athleticism at the safety positions where they maybe kind of lack it. I feel like the three main returning safeties that Ole Miss had were all kind of like shorter in the box, big hitter kind of safeties, and he maybe gives you some other skill sets. I think he's been in a non-contact jersey for most of camp, but he's been doing everything pretty much other than, you know, hitting full strength. And so I think the hope is that he's a big contributor.
Yeah, I mean, obviously he's a fifth year, or really sixth year senior, I guess, because of the COVID year. So incredibly experienced. You know, FAU doesn't play great competition, but just the number of reps that he has seen as a almost certainly a backup puts him in a pretty good spot to be able to contribute to the team and be helpful there, especially with the number of players, I guess, who ended up leaving in the secondary. It's nice to have somebody like that join the team. Then we have Zakari Franklin, who is again a fifth year senior. He is a wide receiver from UT San Antonio, and he was prolific there. What's the status of him? I remember at some point there was some uncertainty around his playing ability, that sort of thing.
So I think the concern about Franklin was that he showed up in Oxford and then immediately had like a quick knee scope or a knee cleanup of some kind. He's not practicing yet. And so I think the prevailing thought is that he will probably kind of sneak into the rotation as the season bears on, which is not great. It's not what you really want. But yeah, you're right. He is crazy prolific. He has quite the highlight tape, just crazy video game numbers his last 2 years, especially. And he's got something to prove, you know, to try to get drafted next year. So I'm sure he'll be get back in action as soon as he can.
For anyone unaware, I mean, he had, as a junior at UTSA, he had 81 catches for 1,027 yards and 12 touchdowns. Then as a senior, he had 93 catches for 1,137 yards and 15 touchdowns. I mean, he dominated at that level. He had 6 catches for 84 yards and a touchdown in their loss to Texas last year. He had 10 catches for 100 yards in their triple overtime loss to a ranked Houston last year. It's not like he has only done this against, you know, teams that are trash. He has had good game after good game, and would be a major addition. Not, you know, I don't want to overstate him because he was so good at UT San Antonio. I think that it's easy to understand that the SEC is different than that. But, I mean, a significant contributor overall to the team.
Yeah, I think
his highlight reel is excellent.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun to watch. But yeah, I think in terms of his impact, you could, you know, I would put him maybe somewhere between Malik Heath and Jordan Watkins from last year in terms of what he'll be able to do once he gets going. Which, you know, this team needs guys, and yeah, he could be that.
Yeah. So then the last portal guy was Jam Griffin from Oregon State. He's a running back, and he was a backup at Oregon State. He will, of course, be a backup at Ole Miss as well, but he does add a lot of important depth to the room. This running back room had 3 scholarship running backs in Quinshon Judkins, Kedrick Reasonneau, and Ulysses Bentley. And then now Jam Griffin adds to that, which is great because running back is a position where there will be times that players have to come out for a while or miss a game or two or something like that. So having plenty of options in that room is really helpful.
Yeah, I really agree. And I love Ulysses Bentley, and I think he, as long as he's healthy, will be really, really good for Ole Miss. But he has had trouble staying healthy, and Jam Griffin is, I think, listed at 5'9", 210, that kind of range, and he's just solid. You'd like to think he could be a pretty durable guy, but his yards per carry average is still quite good at Oregon State. Like, not a superstar, but still averaged, I think, over 5 yards a carry. Without him, you either have to give the ball to Kedrick Riseno quite a bit, or to one of the, you know, pretty good walk-ons that Ole Miss has. There's Matt Jones, and then there's Fred McAfee, or I don't know, his last name's McAfee. I think that's it. So you're relying on a true freshman or a walk-on to potentially carry the ball a lot in an important situation somewhere during the season.
So that's all the portal additions, but another huge thing that happened was Austin Simmons. I mean, this quarterback who was a sophomore decided that he was just done with high school and would enroll at Ole Miss. He's 17.
I think he was 17 when he enrolled at Ole Miss. But yeah, technically he would have been a junior in high school next year. Everything I read about it, none of it makes a ton of sense. But basically, he's very young, maybe the youngest D1 college football player in the country. Who knows?
Almost certainly. He's also apparently quite smart. He has taken a bunch of AP courses and even, I think got credits at a local community college. I watched an interview with him and was just like, man, this guy could be the quarterback. he's not going to be the quarterback this season. Don't get me wrong. That's sort of settled. But definitely really encouraging. Really encouraging signing.
His highlight tape. I watched his highlights thinking that I was going to see, a pretty raw athlete. Dude is great. His throwing motion is incredible. He's a smart, deliberate runner, and he's just really good. He's really good.
And he's also, 6'4", isn't that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, look, the weird thing about this is, everyone understands that if you don't win the job by the time you're, a second-year player, you just transfer. So, It's sort of weird to get too caught up in him, because I think that we both think that Walker Howard is good, and also Jackson Dart maybe won't leave after this year, but we don't know, who knows, but maybe won't be good enough or have a good enough draft stock to leave after this year. Anyway, either way, awesome addition to have on the team and kind of see where it ends up.
Yeah, for sure. Let's see, other minutiae that we would have normally covered during the last few weeks. Three guys on the team have kind of found themselves in a little bit of legal trouble. Guys that you would hope would stay out of trouble, but we think they're probably still going to play, maybe with a one-game suspension here and there or something like that. Xavier Harris, a big defensive tackle, got himself, I think, pulled over for driving too fast, way too fast or something. Coleman, what's his name?
Kari Coleman.
Kari Coleman. I was Keon Coleman, the wide receiver who did not own this. Kari Coleman, there's some weird situation where he was arrested for indecent.
Yeah. Who knows? We don't know.
I think the hope is there was a misunderstanding and then that'll get wiped. DeAndre Prince got a first time DUI. Also not very cool, my man, for a senior especially. Nothing major in terms of disciplinary stuff for players, at least since Chris Marshall got the boot a few months ago.
Chris Marshall, gosh, that guy, I don't know if you saw, but he's now enrolled in a junior college.
Yeah.
Dude, just please get it together. Like, I'm not saying come back to Ole Miss. Just, man, you are a super talent. Please, just figure it out, man. It's going to be okay. Just play football and go to school.
Yeah, it's like, it's tough to think about, like, how much trouble must be going on between these dudes' ears, like, when they know how talented they are, and if they just, like, keep their head down for 2 years, and then they're millionaires in the NFL, you know? But, like,
yeah, like, can't do it. You know what? If you want to do something insane after you get your first several million-dollar contract, be my guest.
Yeah, man. Just, a lot of kids
I think that you and I just were elated the other week. I'm transitioning to the next topic. You and I were elated the other week. I guess it was this week. Was it this week? Gosh. When Cam Franklin announced for Ole Miss.
It was last Saturday.
Yeah, that's right. So it will be 6 days ago for those of you who are listening on Friday. Cam Franklin is... Overall, he averages out to be the number 39 player in the country. Rivals has him as the number 11 player in the country. On three, for some reason, like, so Rivals is at 11, ESPN 27, ESPN whatever, their recruiting coverage is trash. 24/7 has him at 30th. On three has him at 223. Like, they could be right. I don't know, man. Like, you know, whatever. But it's weird to see one that is that different. In that list.
It really is, and especially given the amount of, you know, highlight footage there is for him, it just doesn't make a lot of sense, because you watch his highlights and you're like, yeah, this is a five-star defensive lineman. Yeah, this is
right.
This is a guy right. who cannot be blocked and is just straight up bored out there. Like
Yeah. Rivals and 24/7 have him as a five-star. He is just so good. I'm so excited. And look, you know, something that you and I have spoken about before, but it's August. Like, Ole Miss has three highly rated defensive linemen and then one defensive lineman they're really high on that is not highly rated. These guys have all made it known early. Like, this never, ever happens, ever.
Yeah, like, I wonder if it is the product of the NIL era that they're more able to openly negotiate things that used to have to be kind of under the table and fluid and, like, not as reliable, you know? Like, now if they can literally just have you sign a piece of paper, you know, now.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I wonder if that moves up the timeline for them a little bit. Because, yeah, it seems like more and more elite guys are going ahead and committing early. And especially with Ole Miss, man, it seems like in the past we would always have to wait until the last freaking second to figure out, you know, if we were going to get our top guy or, you know, one of our top five guys or something like that. But that kind of doesn't seem to be the case this year.
Yeah, I mean, Cam Franklin is the best defensive lineman that Ole Miss has had signee since Robert Kimbichi.
And actually, I'm pretty sure Benito Jones might edge him out in terms of rankings. But
Benito Jones is a five-star?
Yeah, he was ranked like the consensus, like number 20 player in the country or something like that. He was crazy high-rated. Yeah, but in terms of actual impact, yeah, I think you got to go all the way back to Robert Kimbichi to find a guy who is likely to have that level of impact.
So Benito Jones, I just looked it up. You're right. Because of weirdness, his average rating was 15th. But ESPN had him 7th overall. Rivals and 24/7 had him 44 and 49. So it's not like he was, you know, a consensus in that, if that makes sense, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That is, and also ESPN, we've talked about before. Like, if they're 7th and the others are 40th, 40 whatever, then
yeah,
I don't know. ESPN should just not have recruiting coverage.
No, they really shouldn't. But yeah, so Cam Franklin, huge, huge, huge commit. Probably another indicator of how big of a success the Pete Golding hire appears to be. It seems like all of a sudden it's a lot easier for Ole Miss to attract top tier defensive talent.
Oh yeah. I mean, look, Ole Miss has 3 4-star defensive linemen committed. They're all from Mississippi. I think that, you know, going into this recruiting calendar, we looked at the Mississippi class and said, man, like, there are some really good defensive linemen. If Ole Miss can, you know, just get a couple of these, well, they already have, they've gotten 3. And, yeah, so that's Cam Franklin. Then Cameron Beavers is the number 113 player in the country. He's from Bay Springs. And Jeffrey Rush is from Pascagoula. He's the number 203 player in the country. I guess none of them are really like a large defensive tackle at the moment. I think Cam Franklin could grow into a defensive tackle, but all of them are sort of in the defensive end to a hybrid kind of range at the moment.
Yeah, if I recall, Beavers was in that 300-pound range, but then trimmed down quite a bit. So you wonder if he could build that back up in a SEC strength program. And you're right. I think Franklin, you know, definitely has the size to grow into a defensive tackle. And then William Echoles, I'm not sure how to pronounce his last
name. Or Echols, it could be Echols.
Yeah, you're right. It probably is, actually. He's listed on most recruiting services as an offensive guard, and he is around, you know, 300 so pounds. He is that kind of prototypical size you want from a defensive tackle. So, yeah, I mean, they have good size, all 4 of them for sure. No projects in terms of trying to put a bunch of weight on a guy.
Yeah, and you mentioned William Echols. He's the consensus number 778 player in the country. He's the 24th best player in Mississippi and the 58th best interior offensive lineman. He's from Houston, Mississippi. I have heard that the coaches think he's like insanely good and I don't mean this like from people who would just tell me this about every single signing or every single commitment. Like, this is like a player that they really think is a diamond in the rough that people have. And look, he's the number 778 player in the country. He has offers from Auburn, Mississippi State, Arkansas, Missouri, Louisville, Houston. Like, maybe he's just one of those guys who, like, you know, would often go to a different school, but has gotten some notoriety for whatever reason recently and, you know, ends up at Ole Miss. I think that those 4 combined are excellent. If they could find a particular like rush end, that would be, you know, a nice way to cap it.
Oh yeah. And you know, they'll continue to recruit he's this Mississippi guy. I'm losing my
Jamonta Waller.
Yeah, Jamonta Waller. They'll continue to recruit him. He's committed to Florida. Florida might well be terrible. And, you know, they also have some kind of well-documented NIL issues. So he could very well be a guy that comes back into play at some point. But they do have 2 3-star guys that they really like who are edge rushers who are both kind of in that 6'4", 6'5", like 230, 240-pound kind of range. One is Cameron Clark. The other is Maurice Davis. Clark is from Tennessee. Davis is from Georgia. And they both had decent offers, and they're both, you know, guys that Ole Miss was excited to go ahead and grab, not saying that they're going to be superstars, but, you know, guys that, that fill that role at least.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. But, you know, getting someone that was just like, oh man, this guy will, you know, very quickly contribute heavily would be cool.
For sure.
So we have two prospects announcing commitments, quite soon. In Nariel White and Trevor Jackson, I have heard that it would be surprising not to get both. I don't know if it, what you have heard.
Yeah, that especially White. He was a wide receiver from what, Ocean Springs, Bay St. Louis, or I don't know, somewhere on the coast.
Ocean Springs, yeah.
Ocean Springs, yeah, who committed to Arkansas. And everybody was immediately like, yeah, that's not going to stick. And sure enough, it didn't. So he's probably going to commit to Ole Miss. He's a four-star, kind of in the six foot one range. Seems like a sure thing. We'll go much more in depth with that when it actually happens. And then
he has good offers too. I mean, he is thought to be a, you know, very strong player. Also incredibly fast, right? Am I remembering him right?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, immense speed at the 6 foot to 6'1" range is really helpful for a wide receiver.
Yeah.
And then Trevor Jackson is the quarterback.
Yeah, I've not had time to dig into his highlights and stuff yet. I know that he has pretty decent size. I know that he's supposed to be kind of a dual threat kind of guy. And he would essentially be a replacement for Damon Williams, the 2024 quarterback that Ole Miss had committed a few months ago. But then when Ole Miss signed Austin Simmons out of nowhere, I think that created kind of a numbers situation in the quarterback room that Williams didn't really like. And so he hopped out, and he was from Arizona anyway, which is a tough pull. Trevor Jackson, yeah. I think, is from Florida. So a lot closer to home. And, he's ranked very high. He's ranked like the number 16 quarterback in the country or something like that. And I think he is currently the highest rated uncommitted quarterback, left on the board.
Yeah, that's right. I actually watched his highlight the other day, because you actually said you felt stronger about Nariel White. I have been told to feel stronger about Trevor Jackson. He's good. He's good. He has size. He's not like, I don't know. I hesitate to even say this because someone will be like, well, how many years of football did you play? Which is zero. But his arm strength is maybe not as strong as Ole Miss fans might be accustomed to. But again, like, he's also, I was watching junior year film. He will grow and develop and all that. So I think it's a really good signing, especially if it's a weird backup situation, you know, like a backup plan situation, to sign the 16th best quarterback in the country. That's a pretty good backup plan.
Yeah. Turns out most teams in any given year would love to sign the number 16 quarterback in the country.
It turns out. Yeah, exactly. Speaking of quarterbacks, so not talking about recruiting for a minute, Jackson Dart seems to be the starter. I mean, he hasn't been announced, right? But like, from what I have heard, if Spencer Sanders has taken snaps with the ones, it hasn't been many snaps with the ones. Shocker. I mean, you and I both are big Jackson Dart fans, and, you know, thought that it was weird when competition was brought in to potentially, you know, battle him for the starting role. And guess what? He seems to have won. So yeah, cool. He's really good.
Yeah. I mean, I think the only question mark that I have at the quarterback position is, whether we are going to see just a more polished version of the Jackson Dart we saw last year, or if we are going to see a much more dynamic player, kind of in the vein of Matt Corral's career progression. Whether we're going to see a guy who they really trust to push the ball down the field and to, you know, pass the ball quite a bit. Whereas last year, it did seem like, you know, as good as Dart was, it seemed like they really wanted him to not put the ball in his own hands to try to win the game, you know?
Yeah, you're right. They limited his ability to screw things up.
Yeah.
But, you know, he did well in that role, and, you know, showed promise. And gosh, like, as a runner, he is so good.
He is very, very, very good as a runner. He is super tough. He does have incredible arm strength. I think his, you know, his placement way downfield is not near as good as Matt Corral, but hardly right. anybody is. But yeah, he's got a lot of skill, man. He's really good. So
yeah. We've already talked about Austin Simmons as a backup. Spencer Sanders, you know, I don't know. He probably made a bad choice transferring to Ole Miss. I'll just come right out and say it. Like, I don't understand it at all. But no. You know, probably got some NIL money, which is great, and we'll try to parlay that. Is that right? Am I using parlay right? Parlay yeah. that into some sort of professional opportunity or something like that.
Yeah.
I probably would have transferred somewhere else.
Yeah, I agree. My hope for Spencer Sanders is if and when Jackson Dart absolutely gets rocked by, you know, an SEC defensive end, they'll put in Spencer Sanders for a couple of plays instead of just throwing Dart right back out there like they did all year last year. It was hard to watch.
And to be clear, like, it's not that I think Spencer Sanders is bad. Like, as a backup, I think he's one of the best backups in the country.
He's probably the best backup in the country. I don't know. Like, who other than some dynamic freshman that no one has heard of yet or something like
right.
that.
Right. Right.
It's got to be him. Like he was the Big 12 offensive player of the year one year. Or offensive rookie of the year. I don't know. I can't remember. But yeah. Like,
yeah, I think that was it. I mean, yeah. Like, I'm not bummed to have him on the team at all. I don't understand why he did what he did. But it's okay. Like, you know, if Jackson Dart were to go down, it's not like the step down would be significant, in my opinion.
No, he makes big plays. Like, my knock on him is that he forces throws that he shouldn't, but he makes big plays. He's a good runner. He, you know, he really takes shots downfield. He's good.
Yeah. One thing that I go back and forth on Spencer Sanders as well. I think that he, you know, obviously he turned it over too much at Oklahoma State. I do wonder, like, would Jackson Dart have turned it over a lot if he had been asked to do some of the same things? Maybe so.
I mean, probably, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so let's just talk about the team in general then. What do you, like, how do you feel going into game week, which will start officially on Sunday?
I mean,
first of all, are we going to beat Mercer?
Yeah, we are. I was about to say, the only thing that has me bummed is that I wish Tulane was week one. I just, like, want to go ahead and see us play a good team.
Yeah, although, I don't know about you. I mean, next week we'll talk more about a season prediction, but I think we're going to beat Tulane significantly.
I'm not ready to say significantly because I think Tulane is probably just going to be good again. And it seems like a tough environment to go play in. I don't you know, it's been kind of well documented that Tulane is trying not to turn this into an Ole Miss home game like a lot of games in the Superdome used to be. This is going to be at Tulane's on-campus stadium, not at the Superdome, and there's not going to be a ton of Ole Miss people there, and like they're
going to
have every intention on winning that game. I mean, obviously Ole Miss is going to have a lot more talent across the board, but last time we saw Tulane playing football, they were beating the University of Southern California at it. So they're not planning on losing to Ole Miss.
Yeah, but they've lost a lot. Anyway, we'll talk about that next week. I didn't mean to derail. Overall, thoughts on the team?
So I think
you're pretty bullish, right?
Yeah, I am. I was about to say, I usually buy in to Ole Miss a little bit more than I intend to come August. You know, usually feel a little more woolly than I want. But nah, dude, this is a good football team. And a lot of it is because they brought in so many newcomers who have a lot of experience. A ton of senior transfer portal players, a ton of portal players who have been super prolific at their other stops. Just a ton of competition, a ton of depth, which is something we hardly ever see. I don't think this is the best starting unit that we've ever seen at Ole Miss or have seen in the last 10 years or whatever, but I think the second unit is the best by far. Like maybe the best we've like ever seen in our lifetimes. Like the second string across the board.
Well, I mean, I guess there's some merit to that, because I even think about, you know, those teams that Freeze had that achieved some significant things at Ole Miss. They were at plenty of positions. There were situations where, like, if a guy went down, that was it.
Yeah,
those guys did not typically go down, luckily. But I think that's an interesting point. I mean, the transfer portal has kind of allowed for that, you know? Mm-hmm. Like nabbing a guy who was a 4-year starter at a much lesser school who wants to be able to play one season and see if he can prove himself in the SEC. That has made it so that your backups are going to be better. And that's really interesting and cool. I will say, like, I am of the opinion that this team isn't more talented, but it's deeper, means that the team is worse. I don't think the team is worse than last year. I'm just saying that, like, whenever people say that, I'm just like, okay, so then probably worse then. but in this case, I think that the team is actually also more talented. And the team is going to be good. The schedule is very, very hard.
Yeah. Yeah. They could be a team that is a tiny bit short of winning the West and then win 8 games, you know?
Yeah. Or like 7 games.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
A tough slate, but I think this team has what it takes to rise to the challenge. Now, whether they will go on some sort of historic run for Ole Miss remains to be seen. But I love the team, dude. I mean, I just think they have a ton of, you know, talent in the right places, and experience in the right places, and depth across the board. And I'm very, very excited to see what they look like.
Yeah. Okay. So I think that there's some stuff we have in the show notes here that I think we should kind of skip over. Cause we're going to do a larger thing next week. I will do a little teaser though here. So if you had to name who you think will be the largest impact of the transfer portal guys that, you know, have come over since January or whatever, who would it be?
Since January, do you mean in the like the most recent batch, or you mean
overall?
I think Caden Prescorn. I mean,
oh, good pick. Good pick.
I think having a great tight end would have been a big help to Ole Miss last year, and that's what he's going to be. He's going to be one of the, you know, better tight ends in the country for sure, as long as he's healthy.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think the fact that it's not as easy for me to pick is a great sign. I can tell you who I'm choosing between. And that is Trey Harris, the wide receiver from Louisiana Tech, who I think is going to be really good, like as good as Mingo and Heath were last year. And I don't mean like as an NFL prospect or anything like that, but in terms of production next season or this season. And one of Monty Montgomery or Jeremiah Jean-Baptiste, whichever one ends up kind of playing the most. Just because that position is, you know, not in a necessarily dire situation, but plenty of opportunity to distance yourself and become an every down kind of linebacker.
Yeah, I think Harris is a very good pick. I think the linebackers are good. I think Monty Montgomery is my pick between those two. I think my dark horse pick is John Saunders Jr., the cornerback turned safety. I'm not sure if he's going to start the first game. I just have a feeling that he's going to be super productive, and he is going to kind of fill that role that AJ Finley filled, where he's just going to make a lot of big plays in the passing game, get some, you know, key interceptions down the stretch, things like that.
Oh yeah. Or Deshaun Gaddy. I mean, I forgot about him.
That's another good one. Yeah.
Yeah. Like this team is going to benefit a lot from transfer portal players. And I think the transfer portal didn't deliver to Ole Miss like one superstar that we can all just be like, oh man, this guy, you know, is going to be potentially first team all SEC type or something like that. But lots of guys that will help this team.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So that actually, this took a while. we had a lot to talk about. We'll talk about a lot next week as well in preparation for the season. And then we will probably not talk much about Mercer after that point, but we'll talk about, you know, the game by game, week by week. So stick with us this season, and we will talk to you again in a week.